Good morning. Good morning. Go ahead and take your seats this morning. Go ahead and take your seats. I love that our church loves to chat. I love that our church loves the greeting time. A lot of churches struggle with the greeting time, but you guys don't, and I love that about you. Some churches, it's nice and quiet. Some people don't love it. You know what? The truth is, probably some people in this room don't love it, but most of you do, and I love that. So I'm excited to be up here. You know, summer is a little bit different for me in the fall and in the spring. I'm used to preaching every Tuesday night, every Wednesday night. I get to preach on Sundays pretty often. Summer, youth looks a little bit different. Routines look a little bit different. So it's actually been a while since I've had the chance to preach. So I'm really excited to be here today. I'm excited to be picking up where we left off in the book of Acts in our sermon series, Jesus Continues. Who's been loving this sermon series so far? I've been loving this. I've been loving going through the book of Acts as a church together. And I'm excited to be up here. Now, every time I have a chance to listen to someone preach, listen to a church service, I'm always, you know, trying to take notes, trying to learn from it, trying to take in what I can. But at the same time, because I preach pretty often, I can't help but try to look for some things that they do well and add that to my repertoire, right? I think a lot of you probably do that in whatever you're profession is or things you do. If you're interested in something, you watch other people do it, you figure out what they're good at, and you try to add it to your own bag. And luckily for myself, every single week here at church, I get to do that. We're very blessed here at CBC with an awesome preaching staff. Mike, Laura, Lauren, Garrett, Abby, everybody who shares this stage, they do an amazing job, and we're very lucky and blessed here as a church. And every single time, I'm trying to learn something new. And when we were in Los Angeles, we had a chance to attend the Dream Center is the organization that we partnered with on our missions trip, and they actually run their own church service out of a building called Angelus Temple. Has anybody ever been to Angelus Temple in Los Angeles before? Just Mael, who came on the trip with me. Okay. Oh, and Haley. Haley's up there too. Jackson. The students that came with me have been to Angelus Temple. This is a beautiful, amazing church building, and we had a chance to be at the service there, and the preacher was a man from Texas. And he was the most American preacher I've ever heard. He started off his service with a big, hey, y'all. And he was chirping back and forth with the crowd the whole time. And he opened up his service by celebrating his son, who's in the front row, because his son had just committed to go play Division I golf, which is pretty cool. I think for the golfers in the room, you'll know that's impressive. That's cool. And I had my notes ready because I was like, oh, I know this guy is at a big church. I know he's a good preacher. I'm excited to learn from him and see what I can take from him. He very quickly transitioned from celebrating his son's scholarship to celebrating the fact that him and his wife are now empty nesters. And it pretty quickly got weird. So I closed my journal. I'm not going to learn much from this right now. So for your sake, I'm not going to add that part of his bag to my repertoire. I'm not going to talk about that stuff today. So lucky for you. But the service was beautiful. He did a great job. The church building is amazing. The church building is, it's like a 120-year-old church building. And it seats, you know, now it currently seats 3,500 people. So it's this massive building. It's got a balcony and then another balcony on top of that balcony. And when the building was originally built 115 years ago, it actually seated 5,000 people. But as you can imagine, they had to do some renovations, and adding new modern chairs took away 2,000 seats. So you can imagine how small the chairs in that building used to be. So 3,500 people now fit in this building. And the best part about this service is a lot of the times, the people inside of this service are people who are inside the Dream Center in their recovery programs. So you have all these different recovery programs and homes worshiping at church together. And what I loved so much is that these people are not always the most polished or put together people or don't always have the best choice of words, but the pastor at the Dream Center is never shy to just pull these people who are in recovery homes and programs and rehab, and he pulls them on stage and just gets them to share their story. And every time they share their story, it's always so beautiful and so passionate, and you know, it might not be the way a typical pastor puts it together, but it's beautiful, and they're not afraid to just let you hear people's stories. Now, my summer's been a bit crazy. You've been a bit all over the place. But one of the constant things in my summer, and one of the constant things that I see through the book of Acts as I've been reading this summer, is this idea that Jesus continues through stories. Our sermon series is Jesus Continues, and today our focus is going to be how Jesus continues through stories. Over and over again this summer, I saw the power of stories. I saw what telling your story, telling your testimony, sharing what Jesus has done in your life, I saw what that did for the people who shared, and I saw what that did for the people who heard the story. Jesus moves through our stories. Two examples this summer. On our mission trip, the very first day we were there, we were serving on food trucks, which means we start in the morning and we're packing up food bags and we're loading the truck full of all these different kinds of groceries and food. And then we drive the truck into a specific neighborhood in Los Angeles. And usually by the time we get there, there's already a big line around the block of people who are in need of groceries, people who are in need of food. A lot of times it's people experiencing homelessness. You know, sometimes it was actually children who were picking up food for their parents who are disabled, who can't make it out of the house. And we got to spend time with them that morning, handing out food, praying with them. And it was a great start to our week. And it was an amazing morning. And our team was feeling good. We were having a good time. But we couldn't help but feel a little bit nervous because we had something coming up on our schedule that was stirring up nerves inside of our hearts and in our students. But one of our mornings, we were going to be hanging out at Skid Row one morning. And if you know anything about California or Los Angeles, you would know what Skid Row is. It's an area in the city it's like a tent city full of people experiencing homelessness and addiction, and it's not the nicest place to be. And we were heading there, and our students were feeling a bit nervous about it. And one of our students actually expressed that nervousness to somebody named Rudy Mike. Now, Rudy Mike was working at the Dream Center, and he was leading our food truck that morning, hanging out with us. And we shared our nervousness with him, and he encouraged us with a story. And his story was, you know, this guy, Rudy Mike, he had a big smile, he was active, he was all over the place, he was serving, he was loving, he was having a great time. And he shared with us that morning that only 2 years prior to that day, he himself was experiencing homelessness on Skid Row. And he was addicted to meth, and he had been diagnosed with lupus, and he had lost his teeth, and he was in a wheelchair. This is not the person we had met that morning. And he shared his story, and he shared about how Jesus completely renewed and redeemed his life. And his story started with a teenager on a missions trip handing him a bottle of water and asking to pray for him. And that story inspired us, encouraged us. The Spirit moved through that story to give us boldness and confidence to go serve when it was our turn, because we had hope from his story. And that's what a story can do. And just last weekend, we hosted a dessert night here at the church where we had a chance to share our stories from our missions trip to you guys, anyone who wanted to show up to the dessert night. And it was amazing to hear those students talk about what God did in their life that week. And if anyone was there, I'm sure you'd share in that feeling. It was amazing to hear their stories. And one of the best things about this is Jesus continuously moves through stories. Because just like Rudy Mike's story inspired us and the Spirit moved through that, the stories our students shared last weekend at the dessert night, the Spirit moved through that stories and inspired somebody else in the room. Because I got a phone call, I think it was Monday night, and there was a teenager in the room with us that night on the dessert night, a teenager who, he didn't go on the missions trip, but he was just there to hear the stories that night, and the Spirit moved through those stories, touched his heart in a special way and inspired him. And I got a call from his mom the next day and said, I just want to let you know what my son did today. Because my son rode his bike down into Courtney, where people are experiencing homelessness. He got off his bike and said, does anybody need a bike today? And a lady came up to him crying, experiencing homelessness, and she said that the day before her bike had been stolen from her. And a teenager in our church gave her that bike and spent time with her. And that's what happens when you share what God's doing in your life. It inspires other people. You know, I love this idea that Jesus continues. And I love, love, love this idea that Jesus continues through our stories. They're not just stories to be shared, but the Holy Spirit moves through our stories and touches the lives of those who hear it. Today, as we dive into the book of Acts, the main story that we're being told in Acts is the one we're going to give our attention to today is actually Paul's defense while he's on trial in Acts chapter 22, verses 1 to 21. It's a bit of a lengthy chapter passage here, but I'm going to read it for us before we continue to dive into our message today. Brothers and esteemed fathers, Paul said, listen to me as I offer my defense. When they heard him speaking in their own language, the silence was even greater. Then Paul said, I am a Jew born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, and was brought up and educated here in Jerusalem under Gamaliel. As his student, I was carefully trained in our Jewish laws and customs. I became very zealous to honor God in everything I did, just like all of you today. and I persecuted the followers of the way, hounding some to death, arresting both men and women, throwing them into prison. The high priest and whole council of elders can testify that this is so. For I received letters from them, our Jewish brothers in Damascus, authorizing me to bring the followers of the way from there to Jerusalem in chains to be punished. As I was on the road approaching Damascus about noon, a very bright light from heaven suddenly shone down around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I asked. And the voice replied, I am Jesus the Nazarene, the one you are persecuting. The people with me saw the light but didn't understand the voice speaking to me. I asked, what should I do, Lord? And the Lord told me, get up and go into Damascus, and there you will be told everything you are to do. I was blinded by the intense light and had to be led by hand to Damascus by my companions. A man named Ananias lived there. He was a godly man, deeply devoted to the law and well-regarded by all the Jews of Damascus. He came and stood beside me and said, Brother Saul, regain your sight. In that very moment, I could see him. Then he told me, the God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and see the righteous one and hear him speak. For you are to be his witness, telling everyone what you have seen and heard. What are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, have your sins washed away by calling on the name of the Lord. After I returned to Jerusalem, I was praying in the temple and fell into a trance. I saw a vision of Jesus saying to me, hurry, leave Jerusalem, for the people here won't accept your testimony about me. But Lord, Paul argued, they certainly know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and I beat those who believed in you. And I was in complete agreement when your witness Stephen was killed. I stood by and kept the coats they took off when they stoned him. But the Lord said to me, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Before we dive deeper into this passage and our message today, let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for another opportunity where we as a church family can be gathered here on a Sunday, Lord, where we can freely lift our hands and worship you and praise you together, Jesus. Where we get to open up your word, dive into what you have for us today, God, and grow closer to you, Jesus. So we just ask you and thank you for being here with us this morning. We love you and we thank you. Amen. Now, Acts is this incredible book, and I hope most of you, all of you have been following along your devotional life as we've been going through this sermon series. And, you know, to understand Acts, it kind of is helpful to know that Acts is the second part of a unified two-volume work alongside the book of Luke. The book of Luke and Acts, they go together by the same author. Luke wrote his gospel and the book of Acts for two specific reasons that go together nicely. And he clears this up right away. Early in Luke, he shares that I produced my first account about all the things that Jesus began to do and teach. Now, Luke is writing the story of Jesus here. He's writing about Jesus's life, his death, his resurrection, and his ascent into heaven. Why would he write the word began? Why did he not say the things Jesus did or the things Jesus had done? Every word in Scripture is there for a specific reason. He says the word began. This gives us implications to the second volume of his writing. This implies that in the book of Acts, the book of Acts is about all the things that Jesus continues to do and teach. A lot of focus in Acts is about the spreading of the good news. And in order to spread the good news, in order to share the Gospels, what do you have to do? You have to share testimony and share story. Sharing stories is a massive part about how the good news spreads in the book of Acts. We see it over and over again in the book of Acts where people are inspired by what Jesus has done in their life and they share that testimony which inspires others. Early in the book of Acts, in chapter 2, we see that Peter shares the story of Jesus. Peter's just going around telling everybody about Jesus. Good service here. That's awesome. Early in Acts, Peter shares the story of Jesus. It says in Acts 2:32, Peter's saying this to people, God has raised Jesus to life. We are all witnesses of it. This is how the early church started. Just people going around sharing stories, talking about what Jesus had done in their life. This is what preaching was in the early church. Jesus has done this in my life. Do it that way if you will. Let the Spirit inspire people through story. It continues in Acts chapter 4. This is when Peter and John heal the lame man. And in Acts 4:20, I love this. It says, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Have you ever had a moment like this in your life where Jesus has touched your heart or Jesus has done something in your life, through your life, in someone else's life? And it leaves you at this point where you're saying, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. I've seen this in my life. I've seen this in others' lives. When we arrived at the Dream Center, we were told that two of our students on Thursday were going to have to share about what Jesus is doing in their life to the rest of the short-term missions teams, which is about, you know, the week we were there, it was about 80 people. And every single one of our students, I told them at the beginning of the week, hey, two of you are going to have to share. They all put their head down. They wouldn't make eye contact with me. And they were all terrified. None of them wanted to share. They were all like, yeah, I really hope Pastor Clay does not pick me this week. Now, by the time Thursday came around, Jesus had worked in their lives and done something in their lives. And I had to say no to 8 of the 10 people because every single person wanted to get up on stage and share about what Jesus had done in their life that week. When you experience Jesus in a real way, you find yourself in a place like Acts 4:20. We cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. It's amazing. It continues in Acts 7, we see Stephen defending the gospel, and he uses the stories of Moses, Joseph, and the prophets to show God's ongoing and redemptive work. Over and over and over again in the book of Acts, we see this. People are impacted by Jesus, and then people share the story of Jesus, and then people are impacted by that story, and the story continues and continues. Jesus continues through testimony and through story. And I think the best part about this is it's such a natural thing, telling stories to people, having conversations with people. I think so often we find ourselves caught up in this idea of like, you know what? Dang it. My friend didn't come to church this Sunday. I want my friend to hear about church. I want my brother and my uncle, I want them to hear about Jesus, but they will not come to church with me. And I think so often we tell ourselves that and we get stuck in that place. But the good news about this is we don't actually have to have our friends come to church. We have to bring Jesus to our friends. And something that is happening so often, every time you're with a friend, what's happening? You're swapping stories. You're talking about your week. You're communicating with each other. It's so natural to bring up Jesus, to find ways to fit in conversations about Jesus, to tell your friend about what Jesus is doing in your life that week. And you don't even have to follow it up with asking them what they think or what they believe. Just tell them about what Jesus is doing in your life and trust that that's a seed planted and the Spirit's going to work through that. Find ways to fit in Jesus. Myself and our team were inspired at the Dream Center. It's hard to have conversations with people at the Dream Center around that place without talking about Jesus, and it was amazing. They're always talking about what Jesus was doing in their life, what Jesus did today. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise God for that. And I think about my own life, you know, it's not always like that. I'm not always talking about what Jesus is doing. I'm not always sharing stories about what Jesus has done in my life. I want to talk about Jesus more. I want to share stories about what Jesus is doing more because Jesus is doing things. Jesus is active in my life. He's active in your life. And if we can share that with people, I believe the Spirit will work through that. Now, Paul is one of these people that figures out ways to tell stories of Jesus whenever he can. He was a missionary. This was his life. Travel around, go to new cities, go to new places, teach people about Jesus, talk about what Jesus had done in his life. Paul was on the move constantly. Now, in Acts 22, where we're picking up here, Paul has finally returned to Jerusalem. Now, Paul was at the temple, and some of the Jews saw him here, and quickly, things went to chaos. Paul was being accused of many different things. He was being accused of teaching against the Jewish laws. He was being accused of bringing Gentiles into the temple. And these accusations quickly led to riots and Paul being seized and arrested. Paul was to be put on trial. Now, many people were celebrating this moment. People thought this was it for Paul. They finally got him. Paul's arrested. He can't travel around anymore. He can't go to new cities. He can't go teach people about Jesus. We got Paul. It's over. That's what people would have thought. But Paul always finds ways to tell stories of Jesus. Always. On trial here, he's here to give his defense. But very quickly, we realize that Paul is very little defending himself, actually. And more than anything, he's just testifying the name of Jesus amid trial, which is amazing. He opens his defense in verse 1-3. I'll read it again for you. "Brothers and esteemed fathers," Paul said, "listen to me as I offer my defense. When they heard him speaking their own language, the silence was even greater. Then Paul said, 'I am a Jew born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, and I was brought up and educated here in Jerusalem under Gamaliel. As his student, I was carefully trained in our Jewish laws and customs. I became very zealous to honor God in everything I did, just like all of you today.'" This is brilliant storytelling by Paul. He starts off, he's speaking to this angry crowd that is loud and tense and upset. And immediately he starts speaking to them in Aramaic, the everyday language of these Jewish people. Immediately, right away, he's signaling to these people, "I am one of you." And it says as soon as they realize he's talking in their own language, the crowd calms down. He lowers tensions. He lowers the energy of the hostile crowd. He makes sure that they know he is Jewish by citing his training and where he's from. He's showing them that he himself is one of them and that following Jesus is not a betrayal of Judaism, but it's a fulfillment. Paul shows incredible missional wisdom here. He knows how to adapt his approach in storytelling depending on what the crowd needs. Just like in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 20-22, he says this: "When I was with the Jews, I lived like the Jews to bring them to Christ. When I was with those who follow the Jewish law, I too lived under that law. Even though I am not subject to the law, I did this so I could bring Christ to those who are under the law. When I am with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from that law so I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. When I am with those who are weak, I share their weakness. For I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some." This is brilliant by Paul here. And he continues, and in verses 4-5, he expresses his ways before Christ. "And I persecuted the followers of the way," he says, "hounding some to death, arresting both men and women, throwing them in prison. The high priest and the whole council of elders can testify that this is so, for I received letters from them to our Jewish brothers in Damascus, authorizing me to bring the followers of the way from there to Jerusalem in chains to be punished." Again, Paul knows what he's doing. He's making sure right now that they understand he knows where the crowd is coming from. He's almost saying, "I was not just one of you, I was worse than you." He used to stand where they stand, if not more extreme. And this is so important when talking to people, because now that Paul has related to them and shown them that he was in their shoes, it stirs up curiosity in the crowd, wondering how did the person who is in our shoes end up where he is now? Paul sets them up brilliantly. And in verse 6-21, he continues on. Paul shares his experiences that took place on Damascus. He tells them about Jesus and the bright light that, you know, Jesus talked to him and he was blinded. And he talks about the man Ananias who prayed for him and healed him. He shares that he converted fully. He shares these visions of Jesus that he has. This is a powerful story that Paul is sharing in a brilliant way for the crowd he is talking to. And this story is so helpful for many. It's been so helpful for so many. And we can learn lots from the way that he tells his story. Number one, he relates to the people he's talking to. I love this about Paul. He meets people where they are at. He doesn't wait in his nice place where, you know, everything's fine and hopes that people come to him. No, he goes to people. He relates to people. He gets down on people's level and he talks to them and he knows them and he teaches them about Jesus. One of my favorite things about the Dream Center is that all of the workers that were working with us were helped by the Dream Center at one point. Everyone who was working with us or leading food trucks or walking the streets was previously on the streets and helped by the Dream Center. And I think this is so important. Because if you're experiencing homelessness on the street and you get to constantly see these people that you saw last year in the same spot as you, that gives hope. When you say, he was in my shoes, he was like me, and now Jesus has done this in his life, that is what makes people want to know Jesus. He relates to them. He's with them. He does a great job of that. Second, he makes sure people knew what life was like before Jesus. I was not just like you, he says, I was worse than you. People need to know what your life looked like before because it leaves people wanting to know, how did that person find Jesus? People would have pictured Saul and Paul, they would have pictured this as the last person to know Jesus. And when you understand what his life was like before, it really magnifies how amazing the work that Jesus does is. And then, of course, he finishes by explaining his life now. What is life like after Jesus? What is different? What is greater? What has Jesus brought into his life? People need to know what Jesus is doing. Paul is perfectly sharing his testimony here amid trials. And if Paul can share his testimony here amid trials, amid tribulations, amid this difficult time, I think I should be able to share my story in conversation with friends. And I need to be doing it. Because the truth is, somehow I ended up here on stage. That tells you that Jesus has done something in my life. And it's not often that I actually share that story or tell people about what Jesus has done. But Jesus actually doesn't just want me to tell my story, but Jesus wants to move through my story and touch the hearts of those who hear it. Jesus wants to continue through our stories. We have to share it. I love this verse in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Our testimonies, our stories of what Jesus has done in our life carries real power. And you all have a story to share. You might think you do not have a story to share. If you are sitting in church this morning, guess what? Jesus has done something in your life that's worth sharing. And you all have a story to share. And I remember when I was a teenager, I went on this LA missions trip when I was a teenager. And I remember chatting with someone on the street and they were experiencing homelessness and they were experiencing addiction. And they handed me their crack pipe to smash on the street. And they wanted to hear my testimony and my story. And I can't lie, I felt a bit ridiculous telling this person in this situation the story of my nice Christian family and my lack of troubles and my easy life. It felt silly to tell that story. I didn't think I had a story to tell. But I started telling it because he was bugging me to tell a story and I was a little nervous. So I started telling my story and I kind of had my head down like this, just telling the story about my family and my life. And you know, I always went to church. I love Jesus, always have. And it felt so ridiculous to tell this to someone in his shoes. And I looked up and all I saw was this man in tears crying. And he expressed to me that all he's ever known is brokenness and sad and defeat. And to hear a story about how Jesus has claimed a family, how Jesus has claimed generations, how Jesus has touched the life of a child at a young age, that story impacted his life in a special way. No matter what we think about our story or our life or our situation or what Jesus has done in our life, Jesus wants to move through that story. The Holy Spirit can take your story and touch someone's heart in a special, special way. All of us have conversations with people throughout the week, whether it's over a meal or over a coffee or at the cashier, at the grocery store. It's up to us to learn from Paul in this moment. Let Jesus continue through our story. When Jesus does something in our life, we should be thinking, you know what, this is the first part. Because the second part is when I tell people about what Jesus has done in my life. And the Spirit touches their heart in a special new way. How do we continue to bring up the name of Jesus? How do we continuously find out what Jesus is doing in our lives? How do we share that with people? This is the most important part, just bringing up the name of Jesus. We have to elevate Jesus. A while ago when I was on stage, I preached about John the Baptist. And the message was about this idea that John the Baptist's entire life was about pointing attention and glory towards Jesus and away from himself. And this is what our testimonies and stories must do. Paul does not tell people about how he got his life figured out, how he's doing much better, about how he's on the right track now. And the people at the Dream Center didn't tell us about how, you know what, it was really hard, but I did it. I overcame addiction. No, they understand their brokenness. They understand that the only way out of it, the only way to move on, is by the power of Jesus Christ touching their life. And when we share our story, when we talk about our week, we need to have that same realization. That the good things in our life going on, you know, maybe you get a new job, maybe whatever it is, you're telling someone about the good news. Tell them about how Jesus did that in your life, because it is Jesus moving in our lives. Talk to people and tell stories. Don't encourage people by saying, you know what, you can do this. You can overcome this. You can get out of this. Encourage people by telling them, you can't do this. But you know who can? Jesus Christ. And you need him in your life. And a lot of people will find that more encouraging because all of a sudden, guess what? The weight is off your shoulders. It's not up to you to figure it out. It's not up to you to overcome this problem. It's not up to you to quit this addiction. No, surrender your life to Jesus and let him work in your life. That has to be the main point of our story. You need Jesus. Be bold when you talk to people. Be bold when you tell your story. Be proud that it was Jesus who moved in your life. You know, people are not always ready to hear about Jesus, and that's the truth. But I do know that people are always ready to hear about your life and your story. And you know what? People might not want you to just start telling them about the Bible or about Jesus or about church, but if you tell them about your life and how Jesus has moved in your life, people listen to that. Because they know you and they care about you and they want to hear about your life and find ways. Keep including Jesus in it because it is Jesus that's moving in your life. So my challenge for you this week is this. Have a conversation this week where you tell someone about what Jesus has done in your life or about what Jesus is doing in your life. You know what my challenge is? Do it before you leave church today. Talk to somebody after the service. Talk to somebody in the lobby. Get in the habit of bringing up the name of Jesus. Get in the habit of saying, you know what? Jesus did this in my life this week. Praise God and celebrate that with people. Because a lot of the times, you know, people who are hearing these stories, they might even just need the encouragement of knowing that Jesus is moving right now. And you know what? If you hear about something that Jesus did in someone else's life, it might touch your heart in a special way. Sharing your story might touch someone's heart in a special way. It said in Revelations, we will triumph with our testimonies. That's it. Telling someone about Jesus, telling people about what God is doing in your life. Keep planting seeds. I think so often we feel like, oh, that didn't do much. Or, you know, I told my friend that you know, I told him about what Jesus did in my life this week, and that was it. The conversation moved on. And so often we find ourselves feeling like that wasn't enough. I got to do more. And I will constantly always be reminded of Rudy Mike's story that he shared with us. Someone experiencing addiction in a wheelchair, lost their teeth, life at rock bottom. A teenager on a missions trip, probably terrified, hands him a bottle of water. Can I pray for you? And you know what? I bet that teenager walked away and felt, oh, I don't know what that just did. I don't know if that did anything. But that's the good news. The Holy Spirit is moving where we've left. And when we tell someone something, when we encourage someone, when we pray for someone, we just have to trust that the Holy Spirit is the one who's going to be there continuously watering and taking care of the seeds that we're planting. And you never know what your story, what you share is going to do in the life of someone. Because that teenager prayed for this man. And you know what? That teenager probably doesn't even know what happened after. They probably went home. They don't know what happened. But this man, Rudy Mike, he's walking again. He's out of a wheelchair. He's got his teeth back. He's healthy. He's walking. He loves Jesus. He's got his life together. He's happy. You know, he told us, the kingdom got their child back. My siblings got their brother back. My parents got their son back. He was so excited to have his life back because somebody just gave him water, said, can I pray for you? I'm here on a missions trip. It's simple, and you don't know what the Spirit can do through your story. Just trust that the Spirit will work through the seeds that you are planting. So be bold this week. Be brave this week. Be courageous this week when talking to people. Find a time before you leave today. Find a time sometime throughout this week. And when that opportunity comes, you might even feel, that seems silly to share. Or I don't think this is going to work. And the truth is, a lot of the times in those little moments when we're so close to taking this step of courage, the enemy tries to tell us that's the pointless story. Don't share that. Don't bring up the name of Jesus. Your friend's going to think that's silly. Ignore that. Jesus wants to move through your life. Just through the book of Acts, constantly we see that Jesus is continuing through people. Jesus is still working to this day. The ministry that Jesus started is not over. It was never over. It didn't finish when he died. It didn't finish when he ascended into heaven. His ministry didn't finish. His ministry is ours to carry on. Jesus continues through us, and Jesus will continue through our story. We'll have the band come up right now, and we're going to wrap up with a worship song today. And I just think it's so important to praise together and to worship together. And I just want to encourage you in this, okay? It's so exciting to celebrate what Jesus has done in your life. And that's why I loved Angelus Temple. They're just calling people up, sharing stories. Everyone's cheering, excited because Jesus is moving. And my challenge for you right now is, I already challenged you guys a lot of things, but I'm going again. My challenge for you is that during this worship song, I want you to just celebrate on your own. Think about something that Jesus has done in your life. Think about what Jesus is currently doing in your life right now. What is something that God is doing that you can share with people? And then when we are singing praise, just be thankful for what Jesus did in your life. Say, Jesus, you did this in my life. I got to share it with somebody. Thank you. Let me praise you right now. Because Jesus is worthy of our praise. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand together and join in a time of worship.